The Clan Fin ambush took place on the 2nd of February, 1921. 21 members of the North Longford Flying Column ambushed two lorries of auxiliaries. A flying column is a small, independent military land unit capable of rapid mobility and usually carrying light arms, and these were extensively used by the IRA during the War of Independence. The North Longford Flying Column was under the command of Sean McKeown. The auxiliaries were a paramilitary unit that supplemented the Royal Irish Constabulary, the RIC, made up of former British officers, most of whom came from Great Britain and had fought in the First World War. Almost 2,300 served in the unit during the conflict, and their role was to conduct counter-insurgency operations against the IRA. Maeve Brady, daughter of Tom Brady, a member of the North Longford Flying Column, explains more.
My father, Tom Brady, was just 20 years old when he joined the North Longford Flying Column in November 1920. He was one of the 21 men who took part in the Clan Fin ambush. Most of the men had a rural background. Many knew one another. In fact, several sets of them were related. So it can be said of them they were connected by blood, landscape and national passion. Three of the men had been in the British Army and had useful knowledge of engaging in conflict. An ambush was planned for some time. On the 2nd of February 1921, the site chosen was here at Clan Fin. When they gathered together on that morning, each one knew where they were posted, who was in command of the post, what they had to do, though no instruction was given on withdrawal. They also knew that the British forces would travel that route either on their way outward or return journey to Longford. It was a cold, bleak day and their wait was about 8 to 9 hours. Two tenders came along at about 3 o'clock. They were dragging a tricolour they had earlier confiscated and were singing merrily. As the first tender came down the slope, just at the bridge, the bomb exploded with great precision. The first tender went up into the air and tossed its occupants out. The military were quick to get into action with several rounds of a Lewis gun. The first casualty was the auxiliary with the Lewis gun, who was knocked out immediately, as were the second and third man who manned it. Francis Worthington Craven, OC, walked up and down the road directing his men as heavy fighting ensued for about a half an hour. Francis Worthington Craven was injured, and after raising the white flag and in his dying moments, he asked to see Sean McKeown. They had a forthright, brief discussion, and Craven requested from McKeown that his men be looked after. Thereafter, McKeown's words to his comrades were, "It has been a fair fight. No further injury is to be inflicted." He allowed the auxiliaries to tend their wounded and used the second tender to take their dead and injured back into Longford barracks. In all, 4 British died: Francis Worthington Craven, John Houghton at the site, George Bush within an hour of being brought into Longford Infirmary, and Harold Clayton died 2 days later in Stephen's Hospital in Dublin. In the meantime, one of the Oxys had fled over the hill, hijacked a vehicle and got into Ballinalee, from whence reinforcements came quickly. The main body of the North Longford Flying Column had fled northwards, leaving 3 of their men on the road. As they took to their heels, a dangerous situation evolved, with the English forces between those already safe and the last 3. Another sharp engagement took place, and my father, Tom Brady, got a superficial wound. It was the only injury incurred, and he was able to proceed to safety. The column gathered as much ammunition as they could, all of them carrying a portion of it over the bog. Sean Sexton carrying the Lewis gun, which was very heavy, and he had to drop it into a bog hole for safety to be retrieved later when all was safe. The column gathered in Bracken Woods, did a roll call and dispersed. The next day, February the 3rd, the English forces came round again. One sad fatality was that of an elderly man, Michael Farrell, who was out in his yard. Not hearing the order to halt, he was shot dead on his own premises. Paddy Finnegan from Columkill had dropped his revolver with his name on it. They tracked down and burned his home. His parents are said never to have gotten over that tragedy.
After the lengthy gun battle at Clonfin, as recalled by Maeve, the wounded were subsequently sent back to Longford Town for care. And McKeown's humane treatment had delayed the IRA's getaway, and they were almost caught by British reinforcements as they escaped across Clonfin Wood. The IRA had captured about 18 rifles, 20 revolvers, a Lewis gun, and hundreds of rounds of ammunition from the encounter. On a separate historical footnote, readers of The Last of the Mohicans may be interested to know that Lieutenant Colonel George Munro, best remembered in the novel for his unsuccessful defence of Fort William Henry during the French and Indian War in 1757, and then being attacked by the native Indians, was in fact born here in Clonfin. He actually survived the massacre, but he died suddenly in Albany just 3 months later. Continue on to Ballinalee Village, your next stop.